Jesus, I just love it when my heart collides with yours. You just overwhelm me with your beauty, and I'm changed by that one encounter. Wow, Jesus, this is really what it's about, Lord. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. I want to see color like you see color, Jesus. I want to hear sounds like you hear them. I want to see people like you see them. I want to see you, Jesus. I want my whole being to be overwhelmed by you. I want you. I give you me. Because you're worth more than me. And I love you. I love you so much. Oh, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Wow, guys, that was so brilliantly wonderful. I just loved it. I was just thinking, you know, Revelations 4 tells us that when we get to heaven, all we'll be doing is worshiping day and night, day and night. You won't do anything else. You'll just worship the Father because He's so splendid. And you'll be worshiping and you'll lift your head and you'll get one glimpse of the beauty of Jesus. And you'll bang your head down and for another 10,000 years you'll just keep worshiping. And you'll lift it again and you'll take one look at Him. And you'll be so overwhelmed you'll have to give Him another 10,000 years. And you'll say, why is it so short? Why is it so short? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Wow. Wow. Holy Ghost, do whatever you want to do. Come and soak this, our hard hearts with the oil of your presence. Cause our hearts to be softened. Cause our hearts to be open to Jesus, to the truth. Oh, to everything that He is. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus, so much. We bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you. I just want to thank you guys for blessing my Father. Thank you for blessing Him and the Holy Ghost and Jesus. Thank you, guys. Danny's fingers are through, but tomorrow's another day. Bless you, Dan. Bless you guys. Thank you so much. I'm not going to be very long because this is much better than anything I could say. But I'm going to just very briefly answer a few questions that might be in your hearts as to who we are, where we're going, why are we doing what we're doing? Because it's important that you understand it if you can be part of this. So that you can see why we're doing this and you can become a part of it as well. So I'm going to, forgive me, I'm going to do a PowerPoint thing because it just helps me to stay with what I've got to stay with now. And I've got to push computer number 2 when I find it. There it is. Okay. So who is Kingdom Faith London? Where are we all headed? Why are we doing this on a Friday night? What's this all about? Why should we do this? And I also want this to answer the question, why do we do what we're doing? Is there a reason why we do this? Because it's pointless doing stuff if we don't really know what we're doing. This morning, when Ruth Dot and I were praying, the Lord took us to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. And the Lord that says basically, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. And what we understood is the Lord was wanting us to write down a clear statement of what it is that we're doing. And so I didn't write on a tablet, I read it on a laptop. But it's the same idea. We're just 2,000 years later. So let's go with this. We need to look at what God has said. We need to always look at what His Word says, but we need to look what He has said through prophets who are tested, who we respect, and we know to be men and women who speak the Word of God to us. We need to listen, go back, and that's why God gives us these words. And so we look, because they're like a roadmap. You know, if I was going to go from here to Edinburgh, I would have to sit down and get out a map or a GPS and plot my course, and I'd have to plan to stop every couple of hours and get a coffee and get something to eat and maybe get something to sleep on the journey, and I'd have a rough idea when I'm getting there and what I'm going to do when I get there. Well, it's the same with this. We're on a journey, and going back to the prophecies is going back to the roadmap and saying, God, what did you say, and why are we doing what we are doing? So let's look at it. The first prophet that I want to introduce you to is a guy called James Maloney, who is a respected man of God and a respected prophet, a tested prophet. He speaks at Bethel. He speaks at Kingdom Faith in Horsham. He is highly regarded, and he speaks all over the world, in fact. And he came here in 2005, right here, stood roughly there, and he said, through history, there's often been a small handful of people who have brought changes to society, a revival core with a right heart, turning their lives of worship into the salvation of the masses. That was an interesting thought at that moment when somebody was saying to us, by your worship, salvation comes to loads of people. And I wanted to understand this, and we had to grapple with what God could be saying through that. He said, God says, we're a radical core group with the right heart, contending for a revival or a spiritual awakening in our city to demonstrate that there is a God out there and that we are commissioned to make Him real to the people who are outside the church right now. He wants us to become His habitation, set apart for His purpose. He wants to dwell amongst us as a people. He wants to live and be welcomed and be acknowledged in the presence of the company of the people of God. He wants to entrust the full weight of His glory upon this congregation. That blew my mind. I thought, God, we're just a little bunch of people. How can you say this to us? Who are we? He said, you will be people who will contend. He says, you'll have several seasons of times of all-night gatherings in the presence of God. And we have burns where we intercede and we worship all night. But we didn't know that then. He says, the presence of God, there will be times of intense and increased fasting, prayer, humbling, and breakings as God changes us. Do you know, it was so interesting in that time of worship. What God took is, firstly, through Danny, taking us through the whole process of, I give you all I am. I give you my heart, my aspiration, my life. And it's in that place that God returns with His input into our lives. And it always is that way that God does it. It's as we end ourselves that He begins. He says, God will cause your hearts to be circumcised, and that will cause the power of God to arise within your midst. Now think about it. You know that before Joshua led the people of Israel across the Jordan into Israel, the Lord said, after He led them across, He said, circumcise all the men, for they'd been born in the wilderness for 40 years, not been circumcised according to Jewish law. And so they were circumcised, and the scriptures tell us that from the moment that they had been circumcised, their enemy's aggression melted towards them. You see, as we say to God, you take hold of my heart, you own me, I give myself to you, He causes our enemies' hearts to melt in fear, and strength returns to us. And there God says it. There God says it to us. God then says, you are to be watchmen on the walls of this city. He commissioned us to look after this city. He said, you little group, I want you to look after this city. I want you to see the spiritual walls of London, whether it's the M25, whether it's the city of London, or whether it's the city of Westminster. God says, I commission you to look after this city, to be the spiritual gatekeepers who watch for the king and make way for him into the city. Those who will usher in the presence of God and will declare him to be Lord and King in this place. Sorry. We're called to be the gatekeepers of the spiritual gates of the city who have dominion and authority. So God says that there's a quote from Nehemiah 3, when God says, I want you to own the gates that are the city, the spiritual gates. I want you to own what spiritual things come in and what spiritual things go out of this city. I want you to keep the gates. I want you to be those who are alert and awake and aware of what's going on so that you can be dealing with those things and you can be stopping what should not come in and welcoming in the King of Glory. And that wonderful Psalm 24, lift up your heads, O you gates, that the King of Glory may come in, will be the war cry on our lips as we declare over the spiritual gates of the city, open, that the King of Glory comes in. And that is the mandate God gives to us there. We will see the spiritual gates opened. And then God says, then he said, we are to go through the gates and preparing the way and lifting up a standard for the people to follow. Zechariah 14:30 says, talks of a tent, or rather speaks for the restoration of the Benjamin gate. It says, we need the breaker anointing from Micah chapter 2, verse 13, which is prophetic praise and worship and travail. Does anybody know what travail is here? It's when you literally give birth in the spirit. We had a burn, a 24-hour burn, and Nabucca was over here, she was kneeling, I was over there, Dot was there, a few people might have been here that are here tonight. And suddenly, a spirit of travail hit the burn. Nobody planned it, nobody said, let's do this. It started with Nabucca, I just heard her starting to groan and cry, and it like ricocheted off and hit me and hit Dot and just hit people. And people started to cry out for God to come. And it was like an inner groaning. It was the best I can understand what giving birth must roughly be like. Because it was like being in the process of labor. It was like being in the process of birthing something on the earth in the spirit that comes and changes this nation and opens the way. And God is looking for his people who will once again travail before him with tears, with groaning the words cannot express, so that the King of Glory is empowered in London. We're to build for the next generation. And God says, we are to see the youth from God's perspective. You know the story when Rebecca gave birth to Benjamin. She died in the process of travailing to give birth to Benjamin. And she called him as he was born, and she was dying. She called him Ben-Ami, which is son of my trouble. But Jacob, with the eyes of faith, looked at this boy and called him Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. And Benjamin became the name that God gave to us. And God said through James Maloney, the Benjamin gate is the gate that you will eventually open through your prayer, worship, and travail. And through that gate, young people will come in. God says, don't judge the young people. Look at them like Jacob looked at Benjamin, and don't see them as Ben-Ami. No matter how rough they might be out there, they're not Ben-Ami. If the Church of Jesus Christ is prepared to see them as Benjamin, they can come in. But we must be the gate. Through crying out to God, through worship, through prayer, through deep longing and groaning, we open the way for these young people to enter in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. It says worship will open the way. We didn't know we would be worshiping for 12 hours nonstop, but the Lord said through the ministry of praise, worship, and tears, and that's from Psalm 149, the harp and bowl, we will contend for the release of multitudes through those gates that will come in just by our worship, just by spending time in worship, just by spending time praying. Our simple prayer begins to open the way for the lost to come into the kingdom and get saved. We're to be a celebration church. Sorry. The greatest weaponry of this church is our praise, worship, and our disarming love, and our infectious faith. And I just want to say something about disarming love. God, the greatest commandment Jesus quoted was to love the Lord your God with all your mind, soul, and strength. And the second, which is no less than the first, is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. We have to be the best at loving each other. We have to be the best at loving the people outside the church. Because if we don't love them, if they purely are a project of getting them saved or getting them to make some sort of confession to Jesus, they will never become sons of God. We are the carriers of this love because we go into his presence and we receive from his presence this love that we take outside and we release that love to draw people in. They respond to love. They don't respond to a kind of clever presentation, because that's not what's going to do it. We're to be a celebration church. God says to us, He wants you to be a church of prayer, of praise, of purpose, that knows how to party. And that's an interesting concept, because James went on to elaborate on that, and he said, small wonder people don't want to come to the churches, because they look like really seriously heavy places to go to, with a lot of unhappy looking people sitting in them wondering why they're doing it in the first place and giving us their money. He says what the church needs to be is a place of celebration, a place of party, a place of joy, a place of great praise and worship and joy and gladness in the presence of the King, and that's the place that the church is to be in if we're going to get it. He says we should be saying to the people, come in here and get intoxicated in His presence. It won't leave you with a hangover. It'll just keep you feeling absolutely thrilled. Hallelujah. So, here we go. God says, I want you to be a church that never gives up. No matter how awkward, difficult, broken the people that come in may be, we cannot give up. Giving up is never an option, because Jesus gives up on nobody, and we don't give up on anybody. It doesn't matter how broken, how messed up, how hurt, how difficult they are. It's the love that's going to win them in the end and bring them through to a place of wholeness that will see the restoration of this Benjamin Gate. Hallelujah. You know, isn't it great that the government and the mayor and everybody else is trying to work out what they're going to do about the youth in the city. There's a clear answer. Jesus has given it. We are the answer if we are only prepared to believe that. Hallelujah. In 2005, we got somebody called Sarah Rowlandson over, who's part of Sharon Stone's Roundtable Council of Prophets. And she said, the nations will come to you seeking a safe place of peace, healing, restoration. You guys are going to be that place for so many people. She said, you'll be a house of prayer for all nations. And Jesus spoke of the temple being that. Prayer will be the key part of the foundation, the DNA of this church. The prayers you pray now, you will see in the future, so pray big prayers. You know, the big ones that need big answers. God wants you to be a wineskin that He pours Himself into. This will be a habitation for His presence. The same word, two prophets, same word. A place where ministries and visions will be easily birthed from, where people will be raised up. Because our vision is not that they will just become group leaders, but they will become missionaries who go out and establish the kingdom in many places for the glory of Jesus. James Maloney, back to him again. He said, multitudes of young people come through that gate. I've explained that to you now. He says, to work, build for the next generation and see the youth from God's perspective. Son of my right hand. I've covered that. Then last year, I met Cindy Jacobs by chance. And she said to me, is your church contending for revival? I said, I like to believe we are. She said, God is sending your church to the youth revival. Get ready. I was so stunned. You know, I wish I'd asked her more, but I was just so stunned by what she said. I said, look at that. Oh, my goodness me. That is so amazing. I feel so stupid. I should have asked her a whole lot more, and I didn't. I was just, That's absolutely amazing. So, listen, this is so amazing. Then we get this amazing guy. I want to just tell you about this guy. I want to do something foxy here for you for a minute. So I'm going to bring something up, and I'm going to see if I can do this. Yes, I can do this. Okay, this guy's called Ashley Schmira, and he's a man from Australia, and we went to him at our youth conference, Dot and I, recently, leaders' conference. Sorry. Well, it's pretty good, eh?
From London, yes. You and your wife, just stand up, right? Holy Ghost, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God. You know, these are days when God is going to put a youthfulness in your spirit. And you're going to feel like you're a young man again. You're going to feel like you're like 20-year-old on the inside. And you're going to say, Lord, you have renewed my youth like the eagle. You have wound back the years. You're going to surprise so many people, because there's going to become, I see, a wave of young people that's going to join your ministry and join the church. And people are going to say, how did you do it? I mean, how did you do it? How do you relate to these? But God is going to do it by His Spirit. Spirit. And I see, Chris, there's a youthfulness in your heart. There's a that joy in your heart, but it's something that God is going to do in your ministry. So that he's going to bring a freshness, a dream, a freshness of vision. Because sometimes you felt like you were drained and that you felt like you had very little energy sometimes. But God is injecting you with new energy. He's injecting you with new life. By the Zoe life of God is flowing into your spirit and flowing into your life. And these are days when you'll run faster than you've ever run before. You won't say these are time to steady up. There's not a time to steady up. It's a time to move faster in the things that God has got for your life. The days are bright. The days ahead are wonderful. God is going to enlarge you. There's a day of enlargement coming. My God, I thank you, Lord, for your anointing. I thank you, God, for your spirit. I thank you, Lord, for your grace. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit.
How's that? Thank you, Jesus. So I got to kind of begin to believe that God is serious about this. That God has called us for a very specific reason. He has called us because he wants to establish his glory amongst us. He wants to make us the place where his glory is revealed. And he wants to bring a whole bunch of young people along to become part of it. And so I've got to believe this, because that's what God's saying. And so what I'm going to say to you tonight, if you hate young people, don't come here. If you hate God's presence, you're in the wrong church. If you don't like worshiping, you're in the wrong church. If you don't like praying, you need to go somewhere else. If you don't want to go heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out demons, you come to the wrong place. But all I want you to know is that this is what God told us to do, and we have to be obedient to him. And with all due respect, that is all we can do. And I don't know how to get this thing to work, but it doesn't matter. There we are. Okay, so we're back where we were, and we've actually gone a whole lot further than we planned to be. You can see I'm not good at any of this, and I'm not pretending to be. Okay, there's Cindy Jacobs, get ready. There's Ashi Smira, putting youthfulness in your spirit, see a wave of young people joining your work in ministry, time to move faster. You know, just on that, God challenged me in the last few days, and he said, God's saying to me, you must become purposeful in what you want to achieve. If you just think it's a cool idea and you just sit and wait for it to happen, you'll get very old waiting. But if you believe that God is saying things, you've got to start doing something about it. Amen. And so what we're doing with Josh and Lenka and Eva and Anne and Kenrick and all these guys, we're encouraging them. We're feeding into their lives. We want to bless them every time we see them. We want to bless them for what they're doing. We want to say, go and take more of us with you and go and make more of us winners of the loss that Jesus loves so much. But guys, we've got to start moving. If we have an intention to be this, so what we've done, we've got to a leadership, youth leadership training program. I mean, a young leaders training program. And we're training people to become leaders of the next generation. We don't want to wake up when 1,000 young guys walk in here and say, oh, what are we going to do with them? We want already planning for those people to come in, to become trained, to become ready to take over, to begin to lead, to become the Church of Jesus Christ in this place, who can heal people's lives and set people free, because one of us or two of us or three of us can't do that. And so we want to be proactive. We want to move faster. We want to enlarge. This was singly the most outstanding worship this evening. I so loved every moment of it. But I long for the day when we have a much bigger group supporting that same heart of worship. When we have drums and we have keyboards and we have all the instruments that we need and the voices who support this great worship, where John has the greatest freedom to set up the best artwork in the place in the church, and people are up here doing artwork day and night, not just at the Burns, because that is in the heart of God, that we will be the most creative people that there are on this earth. So let's sum up. We understand that God said to us, worship opens the way. What a why? Worship is simply giving value to something you think deserves value. Worship is worth-ship. We say, Jesus, you are worthy of all the worship I can give you. And so I want to do that. So the Burns must continue. The Burns need to become possibly more frequent and possibly longer, but they can never get shorter and they can never get less. Because that is our DNA. It's where it comes from. In the process of the bones, there has to be a depth of love for Jesus that will take us higher than we've ever been. Our calling is to pray. We have a prayer meeting that goes on a Tuesday at the Upper Room. That's not possible for a lot of people to go to because they're at work. But we want to start more prayer opportunities for you. We want. Do you remember those 24-hour prayer chains we did in the church? We've done a few times. They work so well, where people just put their name down. They say, "I'll do a slot, whatever time it is, and I'll keep the prayer going." And I think in a city context, that's probably a really good way of keeping the prayer moving. There's got to come a youth revival. If we expect it, we'll see it. If we think it's a cool idea, and maybe Cindy Jacobs just had indigestion or ate cheese the night before, we've missed it. But I believe that that woman does not speak words like that if it's not from God, and it's not a word that's going to come forth. And she spoke it in the company of witnesses. And I believe that God is going to do it, and we've got to expect and believe for that to happen. Because if we do, we will see it and it will come. Hallelujah. So the action that flows out of what we believe. Prayer, and I've spoken about that. Burns in worship, I've spoken about that. I want to talk about God encounter nights. We believe that Friday night should become more of a night of worship and prayer than anything else. We believe that in this place, we need to have more worship going on, and more prayer intercession tied in with worship, and this going on. And I could have stayed with what Danny was doing absolutely happily and just allowed that to happen. Then, from time to time, because the saints of God need teaching, we'll bring guys like Pastor Colin Urquhart in here, and we'll say to him, come and bring an apostolic teaching word of what it means to be in Christ Jesus, and release that word into the church, that the people, so we'll have a regular rhythm of teaching and worship. And sometimes we'll go for a month where we'll just worship God, we'll just cry out to God, we'll begin to travel before God, we'll begin to go on journeys in the Spirit, that God will begin to use us to do things that at this stage our minds can't even conceive of, but God has it all planned already for us, and that's what we're going to be doing. God wants us to take the church outside the walls, and we seriously want to do that. We want to encourage John, and we want to encourage Magda, and we want to encourage Josh and Lincoln, all these guys who are taking the church outside the wall, and Beatrice, and these people who, Roz, who tried it for the first time a couple of weeks back, said, I like it. We want to start taking the church outside, because that's where the church belongs. It must begin to impact the society we live in. It must begin to change the community. So we come here, we get the corporate worship, and we take it out. And Dan and Roz and these guys who are changing worlds through ambassadors in sport, we want to get behind you in a greater way than we've ever done, so that what you're doing can become greater and more successful. We want to, and we are already helping people discover their gifting. Everybody who believes they're part of us, we want to take you through, and we have taken most people now through their destiny plan, where we discover what is your plan, what has God got for you, what are you doing about it, where are you going with your plan, and then regularly mentoring people to follow up so that they will become greater and greater. We want to see the gifts in each life released. We want to see the prophetic gifts, the teaching gifts, the gifts of healing, the gifts of administration, the gifts of worship, all the gifts. We want to find them and release them and maximize them. And you know, I don't want to be here in 10 years' time. When are you going to be doing this? And I want to raise one of you up to take this on and say, I'm going to be doing this because he got too old. And that's great, and he deserves a rest. So I want to train, and I want to equip leaders. I want to see leaders raised up, because that's God's purpose and God's plan. Not one leader, but people who will be leaders like Jesus, servant leaders, who will wash the feet of the people they serve, not like the gentle leaders, not the people who will manipulate people for money and for position, but people who will get alongside people and say, your life is more important than mine, and I want to raise your life up to become everything that Jesus wants it to be. Because that's the purpose of the kingdom of God, and that's where God wants us to go, and that's what we've got to be doing. Our vision is a simple one, guys: to know God and to make him known. It's the one we've had around us, Dot and I, for ever since we can remember. And it seriously says a lot of things. To know him is to worship him, to pray, to know his word, to know him face to face, to experience his presence, to know his power, to know his promises, to know him in the place of travail, to know him in the place of rejoicing. And then to make him known, to take him and take what he gives you and give it to other people's lives. To give it to people here, but to give it to people out there as well. To go to psychic fairs and bless the psychic people with a revelation of Jesus. The Lamb of God who came to set them free. That is the purpose of this church. It's what God's called us to be. And that's all we can be. We can't be anything else. The result, heaven will be on the earth. Do you know, it was very interesting. I saw a clip of an interview with Jason Upton done at David's Tent. And he said something very simple. He said, the problem isn't that God isn't on the earth. The problem isn't that there's not an open heaven. The problem is that, like Adam, many of us are just running away from him. For various reasons. We think he's angry with us. We think he doesn't love us. We think he doesn't want us. We think he was like our earthly dads, and so we think, oh, we can't trust him. But he wants to heal people and stop them running away from him, so that people start running towards him. And we'll run with all our hearts and take hold of him so that we can take him out. And that's the purpose that God has, that will produce heaven on the earth. Heaven is right here, but people are running away from it because they've got preferences. I don't like that. I have greater preferences than that. You know, it's really tough. I realize I'm up against Euro 2012 here, and I'm so glad England's not playing tonight. Otherwise, half of you wouldn't be here. But it's really good that you are here tonight. And I really just want to say I love you playing football. And I don't begrudge that in the slightest. But I want a day to come when you love Jesus just as much as you love football. Okay. Maybe a little bit more. People taking the fire wherever they go. So in time, we'll be saying to people, you need to move to another country because you need to take the fire back to your country where you came from, perhaps. You need to take the fire of God to wherever he leads you so you can release the fire in this nation, other parts of this nation, and other parts of this city. We want to see people saved, healed, and set free wherever we can. It has to become the thing that moves our hearts the most to see that happen. We want to see churches planted that have the same vision, same DNA, same longing to see that happen. And that is what God wants us to be doing, planting those churches all over the UK and all over Europe, because that is the purpose that God has us for here. And in the end, Jesus comes again. Okay? So that's it. If you want to know what our vision is, it's to know God and make him known. Amen. It's a simple vision. You can easily remember it. The more you know Jesus, the more you can make him known. Okay, if you just know him according to the word and you don't know him experientially, you need to get to know him experientially as well so you can talk about the reality of Jesus Christ to people's lives. So that's what we're going to be doing. And I just want to thank these guys here who are looking after the children. You know, they've got the most incredible program. Last week they did the cross. This week they're doing Mary and Martha in there. And those little kids are loving being here. And I just love the fact that the children are loving. And I want to thank you, Liz. I want to thank Ina for all that you guys are doing to keep those little children, because they're as important as everybody else here. In Jesus' name. Okay. Bless you guys. Thank you. Thank you. So, we want to heal more. We want to trust God for the miraculous to be normal amongst us. And that's where we're going. So, Father, I'm so glad that when I went, Dot and I went through the prophecies to discover we were on track. We hadn't deviated from what you'd said. That we'd done what you've said, but we need to go much further, and we know that. And Jesus, we ask you to give us more strength, more grace. Encourage these people. Encourage each one of these people. I ask you to visit them in the night hour with your presence. I ask you to give us supernatural encounters in our beds at night. I ask you to give us supernatural encounters in our offices or wherever we're working. Father, that we will know Jesus. We will experience him. We will be overwhelmed by his beauty. We will be so absolutely overwhelmed that nothing could be able to detract from that in our lives. And Father, I ask you for a gift of boldness to come upon this congregation, a boldness to tell about what you have done, and to invite people here to come and see what Jesus has done for you. That people will come because they're excited to discover what Jesus has done, and the presence of God will be all they'll need to find their way in. I ask you for that, Lord. I ask you for each one of these people. I ask you to plant this vision in our hearts firmly. I ask you to birth it in us, Father. I ask you, Holy Ghost, to begin to use us to begin to break and travail and cry out to you that we will see this nation transformed by the glory of Jesus. I ask you this, Father. I ask you for the grace to stay with this, to keep faithfully following you, to not be seduced into following another man who seems more successful, but to stay with what you're saying to us, God, and not to depart from it, because this is your word to us. Jesus, We want, in the end, that you would be glorified in this church, that you'd be happy and you'd be glad with us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We praise you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I ask you to release prophetic words amongst us. I ask you to awaken the prophets in our midst. I ask you to stir the prophets. I ask you to stir the apostolic anointings here. I ask you to stir the pastoral gifts. I ask you to stir the teaching gifts. I ask you to stir the administration gifts. Lord, I ask you to send us the people we need to get the job done. And we're just praying this morning about Abraham when he got his call to leave where he was born and go to the land that you would show him. He had to work out how many camels he'd need to get there, how much stuff he needed to take. Father, we need camels. We need camels, Father. I'm asking you for the camels we need to get the job done. We need more musicians. We need more drummers. We need people who can take and shoulder the load and carry with us. Father, in Jesus' name, send the people to take hands with us and move forward, one in heart and mind. Praise you and thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.